once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of TheContraman.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Chaz Bogan of ChazBogan.com in Walnut Creek, California, bringing us today's topic on spirit boards. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rootwork as divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Cat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi, Papa Newt. Thanks for that lovely announcement. I hope things are a little cooler in Omaha, Nebraska than they are in Northern California.
They are, and I've been feeling for you all. I've seen the temperatures, and like, I'm not even going to mention how the temperatures are here.
Okay, go ahead. Sock it to me. What's your temperature in Omaha?
Oh, it's been in the maybe 80s or 70s and then getting down to the 50s in the evening.
Oh, that's so nice for you.
I hope that cools you all.
Yeah, we're not doing that well. This is actually the coolest we've had in a while. It's just a blistering 95 right now. But we had 104 and 106 in San Francisco. It's just been outrageous. And, you know, you can't hardly think, work, or walk straight when the temperature is like that. But we're doing the best we can. Of course, we're out here in California where we never put air conditioners in our homes because who needs the extra expense? It's always nice and temperate here. But if I had to live like this for a few more years, I might put in a swamp cooler. I'm telling you, this is not good. All right. Southern California, of course, they do have air conditioners. That's their problem. But we live in paradise, and we shouldn't have to have any. We should have the beautiful natural air that God gave us before man messed it all up with global warming, which now people want to call climate change. Climate change is like saying body change when you mean death. Death.
Yes.
Death is death.
Thank you.
Body
Thank
change
you.
Does
Thank
not describe you. It. Global warming is global warming, and it's not stopping soon. All right, and because of global warming, I want to send out my love and affection to all my friends along the Gulf, and especially around the areas of Houston and the other areas, Corpus Christi and those other areas in Texas who were hit first by Hurricane Harvey and then by the floods. We had a wonderful week last week, other than it was too darn hot. I was teaching my apprenticeship class. I had about a dozen people here. And one of my apprentices, a great guy, and the one who organized this special August session of apprenticeship where we worked on oils and incenses and made mojos, his name is Paul. And my heart just broke for him. He's from Houston. His house was underwater, and he was out here for the apprenticeship. And he was on the... Yeah, it was harsh, man. It was very harsh. He was on the phone with his mother and his sister, and there was 6 inches of water in the house, and all his clothes were ruined, and it just went on and on. And I kept on saying to him, well, you know, what can we do to help? He goes, nothing. He goes, there's nothing you could do to help. He couldn't even get a plane to go back to work on straightening everything up, right, because the airport was shut down. So we all gave him a big group hug, but that was the best we could do at the time. You know, we wish him all the best, and everyone that we know from that area. If you need anything, please give us a call, and we'll do what we can to help. I can't say that I'm like, surprised. I'm horrified, but I'm not surprised given the situation with global warming.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, You know, Countryman Ali, I'm going to say hello to you. You just typed something while I was talking, and you wrote, the largest hurricanes in the last 500 years have all happened in the last 10 years, just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
That is so true. Also, I wanted to thank everybody who held down our show for us last week while we were at a garden scale model railroad club meeting. We do that the last weekend of the month, Nagashiva and I. So thanks, everyone, for taking charge of the show. How are things with you, Countryman Ali?
Things are well. I also, my heart and prayers go out to people in Houston and on the Gulf Coast. And, it's global warming is real, people. It's the existential threat that we all kind of face. We're dealing with our own version of it. I was mentioning to a couple students the other day that summers have really shifted in California. It used to be when I was younger that you knew when summer started because it was generally July, August was the hottest month because those were the months in Southern California, at least, where we hit the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always like the thing, you know, school ended, you'd hit the beach July, August. But now, as an adult, and especially in more recent years, summer really starts hitting in September. So this kind of temperate weather that we've had in California is really, it kind of disappears. And September comes around and school's starting, and you end up with 100-degree weather. I remember last year, it was October, and it was Halloween, and we had like 98-degree weather down here in Southern California. In Southern California, it's always springtime. So we're dealing with global warming in a completely different manner, but we're definitely dealing with it in high temperatures. So, you know, we got to reconnect with Mother Nature and try to do what we can.
Having fewer children, folks. Having fewer children. If you were thinking of having 8 children, please stop at 3, okay? If you were thinking of having 3 children, try stopping at 2. Please, I beg you. I mean, we just can't, you know, because we got to have all this energy to go out to supply all the things for all these people. It's too many people.
Yeah.
And it's not a question of using up the resources. It's the manufacturing processes putting the carbon up in the air. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say something else, too. Up here in Northern California, we used to call the month of August Foggest because it's the foggiest month. There's a fog that comes in. And actually, there was a song about the lady is a tramp. She hates San Francisco. It's chilly and damp. That's why the lady is a tramp. It ain't chilly and damp. It ain't damp. There is no fog. It's going to be a difficult time until we get this straightened out. Now, having said all of that, I do want to give a couple of announcements, and then we're going to bring in our guest. Announcement number one. It is September 3rd, and where is the September Lucky Mojo newsletter? Hey, it's not in your mailbox yet. Well, the pure and simple reason for that was I did have that apprenticeship week, so I wasn't able to work on the newsletter. Can't be in two places at once. And so the newsletter is going to be a little late. We're probably looking at 2, maybe 3 days out, but I really need to spend some time working on it. And not just the newsletter, because the newsletter is connected to a store-wide sale that we're holding of divination products. And this is part of a big project that involves Nagashiva, Ernie Medeiros, and me, and Leslie Lowell, who are working on updating the catalog page at Lucky Mojo for divination, but that means updating all of the outlying pages that link to from that page that are free information pages, not sales pages, and that involves particularly updating a website that I've had online since 2007 called the Mystic Tea Room, which is about fortune-telling teacups and saucers. And so between all of these projects plus the apprenticeship, we got a little boxed in. Well, you know, it was Mercury retrograde, but now Mercury is direct. So we're full speed ahead. But we have to make up time, and I'm sorry for that delay. But the when you get your newsletter, and by next weekend you should, of course, have it, when you get your Lucky Mojo newsletter in email, please open it up right away. You're going to find a 15% discount on everything we sell that is for fortune-telling, prophecy, divination, reading, interpretation of signs and omens, all the dream books, all of the fortune-telling cups, all of the crystal balls, the pendulums, the runes, the tarot cards, the regular playing cards, the gypsy oracle cards, the Lenormand cards, you name it, and including, and I saved it for last, the talking boards, spirit boards, Ouija boards, all 15% off. And with that introduction, let me bring on my esteemed guest, Chaz Bogan. Hi, Chaz.
Hi, how you doing?
How did you like that intro?
That was a great intro. I want to take advantage of some of those sales. There's things you listed that I love.
Well, I hope you're going to make a lot of. I hope you do make a lot of sales, because we are marking down all of the spirit boards that Chaz Bogan sells. We're basically introducing this as a loss leader to show people our commitment to divination. But the real star and center, and I have been carrying these boards since May, when Chaz came out to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival and taught a workshop on spirit boards, and we've been carrying his exclusive, beautiful line of Carnivalia spirit boards. And I am so grateful that you've let us be a distributor of these things, because they are amazing, they're popular, they are well-made, they're just gorgeous, and they're well-priced. But for 1 month, the month of September, they will be at a 15% discount. Now, Chaz, you're known as, of course, the owner of the Mystic Dream, and that's a shop mm-hmm. in Walnut Creek. But you're a reader and a root worker in your own right, member of AIR, and you also are really the person who is invigorating and reinvigorating spirit board work among the younger set, we might call them, people who think of Ouija boards as something that old Victorian ladies did. So I want to talk with you about, first of all, what got you interested in designing spirit boards?
Oh, well, I've just always had a love for anything occult, and particularly the more artistic it is, the more interested I've been. Also, a big interest in American occultism, and spirit boards are really an American creation. They really come from here, and there's all kinds of just history about them that's just rich and tells you a lot about, the history of the United States from a certain point is really wrapped up in some of this talking board work. So I don't know. It's just who knows why it became an obsession, but it did.
Well, what a great combination. Occultism, design, and American mysticism. That's kind of, you've really put your hand on that one. I like teacups, as you know. I've taught and collected and distributed into the world fortune-telling teacups. And those mostly come out, although some of them will claim, oh, they came from China with the tea. No. It's really Scottish and Irish. It's a Celtic thing that spread into England, and most of the potteries being in England, the teacups are mostly English. But you've gone to something else, the American mysticism of the Ouija board. And I really have to say, you have become the go-to person, the person that I want to learn about spirit boards from. So why don't you give us a little background? I'm sure there are people all right now listening, or who will be listening in archives, and they're probably saying, why does she say talking boards, spirit boards, Ouija boards? Right? I'm trying to cover a bunch of bases. I could also say planchette, automatic writing, and a few other things. But why don't you give us some of the history?
Yeah, they're all related. So currently Hasbro owns the trademark for Ouija. Though people use it all the time to refer to what's otherwise called spirit boards, talking boards. Alphabet board is another one that you don't hear that too often. And they're all the same thing. And so going back to the mid-1800s, the movement of spiritualism became really popular in North America. It had been popular elsewhere, but it was really with, if you know the story of the Fox sisters, Margaret and Kate, how they started hearing tappings in their little place in Hydesville, New York. It really took off, and people became obsessed with this idea of being able to communicate with those who had passed on. And there was a great need for it back then. You know, there were average lifespan was only around 50 years. A lot of deaths had been caused by the Civil War. So there were a lot of people who were looking to communicate with those who had passed on. And the idea that people could do this so easily that you didn't have to actually go to a professional medium or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You could just get one of these boards and do it yourself. That was really revolutionary. And it came at a time when there were other inventions going on, the telegraph, telephone, you know, this idea that you could communicate at a distance. Got transferred to the idea of talking to people in the spirit realm as well.
So this is a really wonderful way of putting it. It's the spiritual analogy of the telephone or telegraph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people at the time, I think, believed that, you know, science was just a step away from proving the afterlife was real, and technology just had to catch up with what, you know, these spiritualists had been telling us. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know that the Civil War added greatly to the use of spirit board mediumship because so many people lost those they loved at a young age in the Civil War. And there was quite a rise in interest in that form of communication. And then came the Spanish-American War, which involved, of course, America, but not the other nations. And then came World War I, which involved other nations, but America took part as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States went through three wars in rapid succession, where other nations might have only gone through two of those or through one of them. And so we had a lot of need for communicating with the lost ones who had fallen out of life and at a young age. And this, you can say, it was a need that was felt.
Mm-hmm.
It gave rise to spiritualist churches as well as to the domestic art of communication. Now, I want to throw in something here again, and this is something again that some of the people will not understand what I mean. You can use a spirit board for divination, but it really is designed for communication.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to try to use a spirit board to tell the future, you'd have to find a spirit who knew the future.
Right.
Most people use a spirit board to communicate with the dead or with discarnate spirits who never had life, but who may know something, for instance, where a treasure is buried, or who may know what someone is speaking about behind your back, or who may know what someone is talking about love. Does so-and-so love me? That spirit may know because they may be able to go and listen in. But divination, in the sense of prognostication, is not the greatest strength of the spirit board. Would you agree with me, Chaz?
I would agree with that. You know, there's also, it comes down to what you think is the activating force behind it. I mean, some people will say that it's the ideomotor reflex, and in that case, perhaps you're just being told things that you already know unconsciously. But the way that I use it is to communicate with spirits. And so, yes, I would agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. How about you, Ollie? Do you ever use a spirit board?
I have used spirit boards. They're not my go-to form of communication as a medium. I have other ways of working with spirits, but I have used spirit boards in the past. In particular, if I have a difficult time connecting with a spirit, for example, I can hear a spirit. I can also use scrying as a way of connecting with them. And if I have a hard time, then I will turn to the spirit board, which really is a way of facilitating that communication. And I just want to mention just something really briefly about their history, and I think it's important to recognize. Chaz mentioned that this was around the same time of technological advancement. And that's absolutely right. This is what's often called the kind of progressive era, this era where there is this kind of progressivist view of history and science, that everyone was on the frontier. This was also the age where there was, you know, massive kind of expansions going on. So there's this idea that science really was about to prove the afterlife. Science was able to definitively prove that spirits existed. And so a lot of these programs or a lot of these kind of events, and we should call them events because they weren't often done privately by yourself. You did these as parlor games. You did these as a group getting together and doing it together. So there's a sort of society making or community forming power in the Ouija board and spirit board itself. But you didn't just do this because you were a deep believer in all things mystical, magical. You thought that there was a basis in science for this. So it was far more widespread than people think it nowadays. We kind of think of Ouija boards now as something that people do when they do slumber parties or people who really believe in occultism. This is an era where kind of occultism and science are really blending with one another. And William Atkinson also comes out of that kind of tradition. If you read any of his kind of works, you see that he is the same kind of everything based in science and proven in kind of scientific ideas of the time. So this reflects a moment in history and also reflects the desire to create these enclaves, these kind of communities. And more often than not, I have found that Ouija boards, though they can be used by yourself and spirit boards can be used by yourself, I, for example, like using a spirit board with a pendulum. And that's really a great way to connect with it. That working in a group does amplify the experience, that it does really make a difference. I have noticed that when there's a group of people working with spirit boards, it is a different, really different experience than it's you by yourself. So that's something to bear in mind as well, that these are kind of a collective practice rather than individual separate one.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on that one. While you say group workings and seances may amplify the experience, this has given rise, and I know that Chaz has mentioned this in his workshop, to what he called Ouija-stitions. And Ouija-stitions, and I hope you give us a few more of these, but one of the ones that I was always told was, never do the Ouija board alone.
Right.
Yes.
And Ouija-stitions are superstitions about the dangers or the preferred ways to do Ouija board, which actually don't bear a lot of resemblance to the experiences of experienced mediums who use talking boards, right? Can you give us another one of the Ouija-stitions, Chaz?
Well, let's see. You should never ask when someone will die. That's a big no-no. Mm. You should never ask questions about the nature of God.
Mm.
And then there's, little rules such as, you know, never leave the pointer on the board unattended. Never let the pointer fall from the board. Always make sure the pointer goes to the word goodbye when you're done. There's all kinds of, and that's just a few. And you know, they sort of are different regionally, and, you know, but there's a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm. So these are all Ouija-stitions. In other words, they are like the kinds of things that we hear about tarot cards. Always wrap your tarot cards in yellow silk. These are, and I think you used a very good word, they are regional, and they are also time-bound. Remember, the Ouija board itself is fairly recent, but these develop in time and at certain places. When people ask me, and I'm sure when people ask you, to affirm mm-hmm. these, what I always say is, that's what you've heard. Right. I won't say that your cousin was wrong, and I won't say your grandmother was wrong, but I may have heard it, I may have not heard it, I may have heard it and ignored it and done what I wanted anyway. I may have found it valuable advice. For instance, never end without pointing to goodbye. I like mm-hmm. that one. But
yeah,
not for the reason not for the reason that it leaves a portal open to the spirit
right.
world and they right.
Mm.
That's, yeah, it might. But I look at it from the standpoint of my centered self. I am bringing this session to a close.
Well, yeah, there's a whole genre of kind of movies that revolve around. Oh, yeah, Nagashiva mentions it in the chat, horror films. Yeah, there's a whole a genre of films that revolve around people meddling with Ouija boards and something opens up and some kind of... In fact, I think there was a movie just recently just called Outright Ouija.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a whole
yeah,
sense of forbidding that's come with this kind of music.
And that
yeah.
movie actually introduced a new one. It had something to do with looking through, you know, the little glass piece in the middle. So
mm.
now that's a no-no. If you do that, then you're going to see horrible dead things, and they're going to come after you. So that's a pretty recent one. Yeah.
That's a new one to me. Now, what he's talking about, the little glass thing, the Ouija board actually grew out of an earlier form of automatic writing. Automatic
yeah.
writing usually involves one going into a trance and kind of spacing and beginning to write, maybe in another handwriting and not your own. Some people write left-handed, some people write upside down, but they write, and usually it's readable, and that's called automatic writing. To make automatic writing more automatic, the planchette was developed, and that's a little planchette means a little table. It's a little pointer, sort of a heart-shaped or triangle-shaped piece with three little legs, and it had a hole in which a pencil went, and you would just move
mm-hmm.
it over the paper, and it would write. Then that became used over the board, which had the letters, but you don't want the pencil now because you're going to make marks on your board. So instead you have a little pointer of some kind, either the pointed end of the planchette, or in some planchettes there's a glass circle or plastic disc, but it usually used to be glass, and there would
mm-hmm.
be a way that you could then read what letter it was over, and you would then have somebody would take down the letters and write out the words. There are many other kinds of talking boards, but that's a new one. Thank you for sharing that one, that if you
sure.
look through the glass on the planchette, you're looking into this dimension of these demons. Fascinating
so
idea.
We should mention how this is supposed to work. So automatic writing, as Ms. Kat mentioned, is kind of the precursor. And that form of spirit communication is super, super old. I mean, we have references it in China in the King Dynasty. We have mentions of Europe all the way in the medieval era. Pendulum work also for spirits, specifically a pendulum with a key. Would you even find it in illustrations from as early as the 1300s? So it's a really old form of writing. And the Ouija comes out of that tradition, the idea being that, one, spirits are accessible, that they are around, that they haven't gone anywhere, that they're here, and that they're willing to communicate with us, and that we can give them assistance in helping to communicate. And what we do is by offering some part of our bodies, usually our hands, as a way for them to interact with us, by either going into a trance or a group of people lightly placing their hands on a planchette. The spirit is able then to muster enough energy to move either the object or your hand and therefore give communication. In automatic writing, it would use the pen or the ink or the stylus or whatever you had, or the pencil in your hand that you were lightly holding while you were in this trance, completely kind of giving yourself over to the spirit. The spirit would then use your pen or writing instrument to write out words, or in the planchette, move that planchette on the Ouija board to spell out certain letters. And it's that interaction, the idea that spirits are both readily available and that you can access them by just relaxing enough and kind of bringing them to the table, that communication can happen. So there is a two-part to this. It isn't just the spirit gives a message and you interpret as is often done in things like scrying or the tarot, there's an element of you interacting with spirit, you moving. And it's also where you ask questions. So there's this fascinating kind of dialogic form to spirit communication that makes Ouija, automatic writing, and spirit boards kind of unique and fascinating in its own right, that it has this back and forth that you don't often see in other forms of divination.
You know, this is there is another thing here. The whole idea of the ideomotor response is sometimes used as a scientific or scientistic dismissal, but and you can go with that. I won't say it's right or wrong, but what you mentioned about the movement of the hand being magnified via the planchette, I see an analogy there between the idea of the spirits or angels using your voice if you were made to speak in tongues. It's the idea that some part of your body is accessible to this other realm, and the motion is magnified in some way. Now, let's get back to one more thing about spirit boards, and I do want to talk about this. There are different layouts on the board. There are arcs, circles. There are pendulum boards as well, which are used similarly to spirit boards with or without letters on them, or sometimes just the shape or design. Going back, Chaz, from what you know, what is the most common form? Is it, maybe I'm guessing, but isn't it the horizontal rectangle the most common?
Yes, it is. And with the letters generally in double arches. You think of, you know, sort of the Hasbro version of the Ouija board. That's pretty much what the original looked like. And as you said, there's a lot of different styles that you might use for different reasons. With mine, I do an arch going up and an arch going down. That way I have more room in the middle to put images. So it just sort of depends on who's designing it as to, you know, what their design ideas are.
Mm-hmm. And this doesn't, as far as working with them, and I'm sure you've worked with many more spirit boards than me, I'm looking at one right now. It's a huge square of wood, and it's called the Fate Board, and it's a circle. It's a huge, big circle. It has astrology on it and different numbers and different things. It's so large, I don't think I could comfortably reach across it. So one reason that the horizontal board is convenient is that you can actually reach all parts of it when it's on a desk or table. But it's not because it's the perfect form or the form that God intended. It's just a good form that fits from your elbow to your thumb and finger, right?
So, right.
I mean, this is a lot of these things are practical, right? They're practical as well. Somebody mentioned the mystic mints, the mystifying mints, rather. These are a little tin of mints with a little tiny planchette as the mint and the little tiny Ouija board on the cover of the tin. And you gave those away at your workshop.
Yes.
And
they're yummy too.
And they're yummy. And have you, do you know, I have actually used those to spell out words. Usually I say, oh yeah. Well, of course I had to test it. So I put the little planchette on with my finger and the two tips of my two fingers. And I said, should I eat this mystifying mint? And guess what it said?
Yes.
It said yes. So I ate it. So I put in another. Oh, yeah. It told me to eat quite a few of those. And after a while, it said no. And then it said goodbye. And I put the rest away.
There you go.
But you can actually use it to get messages with spirits. I was just goofing. In all of these things, and this is true of every kind of spiritual work, you get what you put into it. If you put in, fun and laughter, you'll get back fun and laughter. If you put in fear, you'll get fear. Mm-hmm. I was part of the teenage group, you know, who that sort of teenage rite of passage in which two people get together. Oh, yeah, two girls get together in a dark room only by the light of the candle with their Ouija board and ask for any spirit to come in. That's a big mistake. I'm going to just say it's a big mistake. You're going to do it anyway. If you've never done it, you're going to do it, but you won't like it. Very, very rarely will the spirit that comes in be helpful to you. Just like running into a parking lot of a large big box discount store and running around the parking lot and just picking a person at random and say, will you marry me? Not a good idea.
Right.
Better to start with your friends, and it's better to start with a spirit that you know and love. Even if it's the spirit of a small pet who died, some sort of a spirit that you can feel comfortable with, a grandmother, an auntie, something nice. Don't just say, I want a dead soldier to show up here. That might not be good, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Using them. Okay.
I was just going to say real quick, there's a bit of trial and error when it comes to Ouija. So just bear that in mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, using it as part of, you know, just your ancestral devotion is really powerful. And, you know, presumably you would know the type of advice that your grandma might have given you. If you start getting advice that's out of sync with that, well, then you know that that's not who you're talking to. So it's helpful to, you know, have an idea of who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do explain to people, because I get a lot of teenage kids coming, I want to buy this because I want to try it out. That kind of an idea is sometimes called legend tripping, where there's a legend and you're going to go to it. This isn't exactly legend tripping because it's in your home. Rather than going to that haunted house on the hill, which is authentic legend tripping, this is within your you know, your bedroom and the two teenage girls playing. But it is amazing what spirits two teenage girls can call up and how sometimes they literally have to burn the Ouija board to get rid of it. I mean, this happens, and it's not a joke. So play safe.
mm-hmm. As will with all spirit work, always play safe.
Yeah, well, you know, now, when you make your spirit boards, do you dedicate them, or are they come open and anyone can use them? They're just going to be open when they get them?
They're pretty much open when they get them. I can expect the person buying them to, you know, put forward their own, cleanse them themselves and, you know, do their own thing with it.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So no guarantees on the spirit boards you buy from Chaz Spokane, except for that they're beautiful, they're functional. But it's up to you to find the spirits you want to work with and to work with them safely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Chaz. This is a topic of great fascination to me. And remember, these boards will be 15% discount at our shop for the month of September only. And we got to place a bigger order with you, Chaz. Be prepared.
Absolutely.
We're running low already. And so now we're going to do some readings. So let's go on over to Papa Newt, and he's going to bring in our first client. Where's Papa Newt? Okay, we have an absence of Papa Newt. Just kind of wishing for Papa Newt. Should I ask for? Should I ask for Nagashiva? Okay, now I'm going to have to ask, can anyone hear the sound of my voice?
I can hear you.
Yes.
He just dropped, so I'll get him in just a second.
Okay. Papa Newt, there he is. Not sure what happened, he said. All right. Are you on, Papa Newt?
He's coming now.
I hear. Okay,
here
I am. So sorry about that.
Coming
so
from far away, far away in the spirit world, we have invoked the spirit of Papa Newt. Papa Newt, can you hear us? What
I am here. So, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood, and Contraman Ali, and this week's special guest, Chaz Bogan, will be right back. We'll be taking our calls from listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will be selecting our callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, the spirit of Papa Newt, read the brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. So our first caller we have is calling in from Michigan, area code, let me bring it up here, there we go, 269. This is Loyal Stranger. Loyal Stranger, are you there?
I am here, hello.
Hello, welcome back. I see that you are a return caller. You called about, you thought about around October, is that correct?
Sounds right.
All right, good, good. Though that situation has changed, that's wonderful to hear. Though you're calling on a completely separate situation, is that correct?
Completely separate situation.
All right, thank you. Now, you have not gotten to any other readers I see here. So, Loyal Stranger writes, I have been connecting with a guy through a friend, and we get along really well, both attracted to each other, and I can tell we are both starting to feel some real feelings for each other. The problem is, he lives in California, and I live in the Midwest. I cannot move for at least 4 years. He doesn't really have anything holding him back, but I know he loves California. Just wondering if the cards see him moving here or anything I can do to assist the process in happening through root work. Thanks. I'll turn it back to you.
All right. Well, although we did start by talking about Ouija boards, I'm going to just fall back on my old favorite, the Rider-Waite-Smith Tarot deck, because it's a quick read, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So, Loyal Stranger, okay, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I am an Aries.
Aries. And the friend, what is the friend's name? Just the first
name. I'm sorry, his name is Colin, and he's a Libra.
Colin the Libra. All right. Colin the Libra. Well, now, as you know, and I believe, Loyal Stranger, you know quite a bit about magic, the signs, Aries and Libra, are opposite each other in the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
One is
yep.
ruled by Venus, and one is ruled by Mars. I would recommend that before undertaking any very heavy, intense work, because you're just starting to feel feelings, you want to get your mm-hmm. charts checked out. You want to see where your, you know, your suns are about opposite, but you want to see where your Marses and Venuses are, okay? Because they should be making some kind of a good connection. Otherwise, like opposites that repel, you'll go apart. But I am with someone who's my opposite, and I find that opposites do attract, provided that there are other things in the charts that are good. So, although I'm going to read cards, this is a more skim surface reading, and we're going to give you some root work. Card number one is darn good. Card number one is called the Sun. So the Sun shows a happy child riding on a horse in a very safe environment with sunflowers and, of course, the shining sun. And the horse would indicate conveyance. If not moving, come visit each other, definitely. The horse shows the way. You are going to be able to visit one another. The child is waving a red flag. Well, that would be your Aries nature. The Aries is red. And this is a card of happiness, of enjoyment, of pleasure. And I consider this to be a very good start to a relationship. Everything smiles. The sun is smiling. But it does say you will need a method of conveyance, okay? Card number two, and it doesn't say you're going to get him to move where you are or you're going to move where he is right away, okay? It's summer now, and this is a good time to be working under this hot, hot sun. Card number two is another card of summer, the Four of Wands. Wands is a fire sign card, and what I see here is happy people celebrating at a party with a sort of a sacred tinge to it. We could call it a sacred party. Some call it a marriage. Some say that the four poles that hold up the fruits and the flowers symbolize a Jewish chuppah, and a wedding is going to take place. Others think of it as more like the Feast of Booths or Sukkot, where you also would put fruit and stuff above. But in any case, it signifies some sort of a harvest festival, a happy festival, a marriage festival, a party. There's a castle, and this is outside the castle. And so this also says to me that, again, some sort of travel between places, maybe meeting halfway in the middle. Who knows? But this is a good card, and it signifies that the relationship may have some implication towards a marriage. The third card is called Justice, Balance, or Libra. So we first heard from Aries with the card of the Sun, and which also does relate to Leo, and it relates to anything that's a fire sign. And here we have Justice that relates to balance. So the goddess of justice holds a sword upright and holds a balance beam scales in her hand, left hand. And this says, try above all to be fair in this relationship. This relationship will not work if one of you tries to dominate the other. That includes, you must move to live with me, or I'm not going to take this any further, or I must move to live with you, or this is not going any further. In other words, this card calls for compromise, but of the most gentle, kindly, well-intentioned sort. This is a compromise that does well for both parties, and it is something that will bring pleasure because it's even-handed. Okay? Also, by the way, none of these cards talk about tying this person up, down, or sideways. All of these cards are cards of voluntary association and a very friendly basis, even under and apart from any sexual or romantic feelings. Okay? So I'm now going to turn this over to Chaz and see what Chaz reads on the situation.
Okay. Yeah, I'm reading with the Lenormand deck here, and the first that I got card is the birds. And the birds talks a lot about communication, which is, you know, something that's essential for a relationship, particularly for a long-distance relationship. So I'm guessing the two of you are connecting well in that regard. You have a lot to say to one another. Okay, a lot of sort of late-night phone calls and things of that nature. Okay, good. Because obviously if, you know, he wasn't communicating with you now, then, you know, moving to California wouldn't wouldn't help the situation any. So so good. Okay. So we're on the right track. So, you know, it's rare that you find somebody that you can really open up to. And have you two have been talking about potentially you making the move out there? Has this come up?
It hasn't come up yet. No, not really. I mean, I was just kind of curious, like, you know, if it was a possibility.
Okay.
But I haven't really
all
talked to him about it yet.
Gotcha. Well, you know, like I said, communication is key. So, you know, maybe after you get some of the advice here, you might think about bringing that up. How long did you say you had been seeing him?
Just a couple months. Not
just a couple months. Okay, so maybe not quite yet.
Right. Exactly.
Early to talk about. Okay, I get you there. The second card we have here is the garden. And the garden talks a lot about our friendships, you know, sort of our circle of friends. And so if you were to leave where you are now and move to California, what would your support system be? What would, I mean, are most of your friends in your region?
I actually moved away from my home, so I'm really in a place right now where I don't have, I mean, I'm only 2 hours away from home, so it's not like, you know, I can't go back, but like, I'm kind of off, I'm kind of isolated where I'm at.
Okay, kind of isolated. And so also the birds and the garden together make me want to ask, what is it your friends think of this guy? Do you have a group of friends that you've introduced him to or talked to him about? Or
Well, one of my friends introduced us. So there's that. But also, I've only told a couple of my friends about me even talking to him and, you know, just kind of general about him. And they really liked what they heard. So I guess there's that.
Okay.
I mean, other than that, no one's met him other than the person that introduced us.
Right. And it's only been 2 months. So, you know, introducing her to everyone.
Right.
But, okay, well, that's good. So you have, you know, a good friend vouching for him. So that's good. And so the final card we have here is the Star, which is a positive card. But it also brings me back to what Kat had asked about, you know, your astrology charts. So I also would encourage you to have your charts done and see if, you know, what might be compatible and what might not. Take a good look at that to see how the future of your relationship might unfold. But on its own, the Star is a positive sign. You know, you follow your star to a positive outcome. So I'd say that this is looking pretty good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Now, this is interesting that both Chaz and I got this idea of astrology. So I'm going to just take a little side note here before I turn this over to Conjurman Ali, and he's going to give you some root work. But as a side note, there are some astrologers who specialize in love compatibility charts like this. And
yes.
Among them, Deacon Millett, Professor Ames, Conjurman Ali, you do love compatibility charts.
I do.
And William Stickevers does locational charts. I think he also does love compatibility charts, but locational charts are his thing, so he might look into whether moving would be useful for you. And there are other astrologers at AIR who you could look at. But I would get something done with ask them with respect to Venus and Mars, considering that your signs are Aries and Libra.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over now to Ali for some root work. Take it away, Ali.
Thanks, Kat. I should say that it's funny that both of them got the astrology thing because it was what I was thinking of from the very beginning. And so I'm just going to echo for the third time as if you need to hear it again. To get an astrological chart. The key here is that opposites absolutely attract, and as Kat mentioned, she's a Taurus who's with a Scorpio. I have my significant other, she's a Scorpio, so I've always, and in fact, many of my exes were Scorpio, so opposites have really intense and powerful connections, but they can be tricky. And so one of the keys, and this is, I think, what Ms. Kat was talking about in her reading, she said, you don't want to dominate. You're an Aries. Aries has the capacity to dominate, even when they don't intend to. Even the mildest Aries can be a bit overbearing. And they don't realize that they're doing it, but they know what they want, and they want it, and they don't want to kind of deal with all this other stuff, right? And so they're a little bit more direct, and they want to get what they want. And that can be overwhelming for Libra in particular. Because Libras are about harmony. Libras are about bringing things together in a beautiful way. And any type of tension in that regard will force them to back off. And that can be a killer in a long-distance relationship. So what I'm going to do is give you some work that will help to keep that connection really strong between the two of you. This isn't forceful work. It's not about dominating. But it is about really bringing things together in a harmonious way and keeping that connection strong despite the difference that is, or the distance that is between you two. One of the ways to do this, I want you to get matching lockets of some type, or some type of necklace that can be used in this. And they should be matching so that you can keep one and you're going to give one to him. This is, I know it's only been a couple months, but it can be a really cute gift that you know, has your picture in it, his picture in it, something along the lines of, I want you to keep this, you know, and think of me while we're hundreds of miles away from each other. A bit of saccharine love is always good, a bit of sweetness, right? So what I want you to do is when you take these matching lockets and you're going to set up a space that you're going to work from, this space should be your regularly dedicated to this. So this isn't a temporary space. Pick something that you will, going forward, use for this particular purpose. I suggest something in your bedroom and something that is facing your bed, so if you have a drawer, if you have a bookshelf, if something that you can work on, get a large photo of you two together. If you don't have a photo of you two together, you can either take one the next time you see each other Photoshop it. You can even place it somewhere, you know, you want to visit. Ideally, if you have a photo of each other, pick a photo from a very happy memory. Place this into a picture frame, and I want you to take the Love Me Oil and rest the picture frame. On either side of this picture frame, I want you to set candle holders. In the front of this picture frame, I want you to set a small heat-proof dish or a sensor and a thurible or a thurible, something that you can burn incense on. You are going to get a pink candle and a red candle. Write your names on it. The pink candle dressed with Come to Me Oil. The red candle dressed with Love Me Oil. Set these in the candle holder. It doesn't matter which spot you put it, left or right. Set them up. Light the candles to prayer. Light the incense. You Come to Me incense. Add just a small pinch of tobacco. Not a lot. You don't want the entire house to smell of smoke. Just a little pinch of tobacco. And then through the incense, speak to him. Do this at night while he is asleep. Speak to him. You should be facing your bed. Now, while you speak to him, tell him sweet things, tell him to think of you, to miss you. Then I want you to spend some sexy alone time with yourself, right? And do this while you're facing the photo. Do this while you're facing and focusing intensely on the photo, as if he can see, put on a show for him. Take the fluid that you get from that time, and I want you to anoint both lockets. You can then carry these lockets with you for an entire week. Now, put it close to your body. You can. Some women will place this right in their underwear. Some are comfortable. Do whatever you're comfortable with. But you want to get your body touched. Give him one of these lockets and keep the other one on you. Once a week, you are going to light the candles, light the incense, and do your thing in order to keep that attention hot to get him to keep thinking about you. The locket will keep the link between the two of you, and the picture frame will allow you to continue to influence him in a passionate manner with sex magic. And this is a great way for long-distance relationships to keep their spark going. That's my recommendation. It's a simple, you know, working. It's fantastic. It plays off of Mars and Venus here. And I think it'll be right for your situation. Let's see if Kat and Chaz have anything further to add in regards to this.
Wow. That was very well said. The tobacco is to establish long distance communication. So that's why you might want to add it. You could, if you put some charcoal under, add a few more herbs. It won't burn as well as just a straight up powder incense, but you might want to add a little catnip herb, Damiana herb, and maybe a little bit of sexy myrrh resin. You know, all. I wouldn't add anything to those candles or anything else, but I might just perk up that incense just a tiny bit. How about you, Chaz? Do you have anything to add?
No, not really. I love the idea of the lockets. I love love letters, too, and dusted with a little bit of Love Me powder. It's really great to, you know, bring a connection between two people.
Wonderful. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And now we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is a first-time caller calling in from area code 806 in Texas. This is the Mystical Goddess. Mystical Goddess, are you there?
I am.
Oh, and I just now noticed that you did put your name of Sherry. Would you like to be called by that on the radio?
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Sherry, and welcome to the show. Now, For this particular situation, I see you have not had any private readings with Ms. Kat or Conjure Man Ali, or have gone to any other readers or root workers on this situation. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. And Sherry writes, I am relocating out of Texas and possibly have a line on a place in Northern California to park my tiny home. Will I get my finances in order, house sold, bills caught up, to pull this off by January 31st, 2018, or will it take longer? Will this be a good move and a new start for me? Please tell me any other information that comes up around this situation. Thank you. Turning back to you, Ms. Kat.
Wow. Okay, I have some questions. You're relocating out of Texas. I hope you're in a safe part of Texas right now.
Yes, ma'am. Not affected by the floods.
Oh, good. Well, that's good to hear. Now, you want to park your tiny home, but you're selling another house? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I'm going to sell this one and then purchase a tiny. And before I did that, of course, you need to kind of know where you're going to go. And I think I have that solved.
Good. Okay. All right. All righty. So I think we have the question well in mind. Let's turn this over to Contraband Ali for the reading. First reading.
Thanks, Ms. Kat. I have pulled three cards here, and I'm going to go over them. They do indicate, the short answer, that a move will be possible. The first card that we have is the Three of Pentacles. The Three of Pentacles shows us a mason or an artisan at work at a cathedral, while a monk and an architect or a planner watch on. And above him is a beautiful arch with three pentacles, but they are not golden coins, they're empty pentacles. This tells me that finances are going to be the big key here. And getting those finances in order might be a bit tricky, but that you have help. That there are people in your life that will be able to assist you, to turn to people who can help. If you have someone who is a financial advisor, go to them. If not, seek out a financial advisor. Someone who has expertise that you do not be afraid to turn to them, because you have everything. The foundation has been laid, but what is missing is to make sure that your finances are sorted. So the key to this move is to make sure your money, to all the ducks are in a row, but it's the money aspect, making sure that more than anything else is sorted. So seek out assistance here. There are people who are willing to do this work for you, people who are willing to assist you in this manner. It may involve a little bit of heavy lifting on your part, by which I mean actually searching for someone who can help you. Don't expect this to kind of fall out of thin air or everything to just kind of fall into place. You're going to have to actively work to ensure that you are in the right place to move. But the Three of Pentacles is not a bad part. It is a part that, as you've laid down the foundation, you just need a little bit of guidance and help. It's not a particularly strong card in regards to finances. It just means you need outside help in order to sort that out, whereas the rest of the foundation has been laid. And that assistance is going to be integral, because the next card shows us that assistance is what's going to help you to move forward. The Six of Swords is the next card. It shows us an individual who is ferrying a woman and a child on a boat or skiff across rocky water to a full island off the shore in front of them. Meaning that the move is not going to have to face a series of obstacles. A series of kind of setbacks will come in your way as you are ready to move, that you will be able to overcome them thanks to this foundation work that you did, this kind of preparatory work that you've done with the assistance of this outside person. That work will help you overcome those obstacles that are in your way. And yes, you will be able to move the very clear indication to move. So the answer is yes, you are going to move to where it is you desire. I think you said Northern California. And the final card that we have is the Ten of Pentacles. The Ten of Pentacles is finally achieving success and being able to kind of lay back and enjoy the fruits of your hard work. This is a person who has retired, an older man, an older gentleman who is now wanting his descendants in a small village on his work and he has his hunting dog at his feet, and they are surrounded by golden coin. You will be able to sell what it is you need to sell. You will be able to move when the time comes, and you will be able to enjoy the results of the move and the sale. So there is a positive outcome here, but journey along the way, and this journey is going to be faced with some setbacks that you can address by doing the preparation work. The Three of Pentacles is all about that preparation work. You get the right people on your team, you get the right people help you in this situation. You make sure that you have your ducks in a row, your finances sorted with the help, and that will help to address any type of delay or obstacle, with the final result being that you will achieve what it is you desire. So this is a very good reading, and it does indicate to us that you will get what you want. You just need to make sure that you work for success. It's not one of those situations that will just happen naturally. You're going to need to work towards it and get a system to help you along the way. This is what my reading says. I'm going to turn this over to Chaz, who's going to do your next reading, and then you will have Ms. Cat, who happens to be in Northern California, give you root work advice.
Okay, Sherry. This looks really positive as well. I have, it starts off with the ship, which is talking about, you know, movement, going someplace, and we'd love to have you here in Northern California. It's wonderful despite our current heat wave. The card after the ship is the fish, which brings us back to a little bit of what Kanchanan Ali was talking about in terms of finances, is really, you know, making sure that you have the money to actually make this move. Now, was money so much the issue, or was it just the need to find a place? Sherry?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was getting a message. Could you repeat the question?
So how was money the big issue for you, or was the issue just in general trying to find the right space?
Both. It was both. And now that I believe I have the space, it's just been a very slow year, and I think everybody knows about all the weird energies and eclipses and moons. And it just had really affected my finances. But, again, this is apparently a transition year, so I don't know what to think about all that, but it was a slow money year.
Gotcha. Well, the good news is, so we have the ship, which is talking about, you know, your ability to move to this new place. We have the fish, which is talking about, you know, money in general. And the other card is the writer. And in this deck, the writer is facing the fish. So we know that this is a card that's really there to support the issue of money. So it looks like there will be some movement as far as somebody coming along and giving you some assistance in this, whether it comes from, you know, a friend with money or a loan or, you know, whatever means. It does look like you're going to end up with the support you need in order to make this move. So I would say that this is a positive reading as far as, you know, you getting out here to Northern California.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, that leaves it in my part of the court. We're going to try some work here. So both readings said that this is not going to be a pushover or a walkover. You are going to, both readings said you're going to need some helper. Both said you will make the move, but the slow money may still be an issue. So we may not make that timeline that you're thinking, because I'm seeing a little delays here, but you will make the move if necessary by cutting corners financially and putting in more sweat equity, because the Three of Pentacles, which Ali had, is all about hand building and doing things on your own when you have to. Now, I'm going to talk about what I would recommend as far as magic to get the thing going and get your place sold. Is your place now on the market?
Not yet, because I only just this past week got a line on the new place, and we're finalizing that now.
Okay, great. All right. So we're going to talk about selling the place you're in as efficaciously as possible and as quickly as possible and for the most amount of money as possible. Now, there are many ways to do that. There's certainly, and you can look up some of the fabulous Catholic ways of using St. Joseph as a helper, calling upon St. Joseph for aid, praying to St. Joseph for help. These are time-tested ways. St. Joseph was a carpenter, and his spirit has always been available to those who want to repair, fix up, build up, and then sell a house. So I'm going to give you a very quick way of working with St. Joseph. This was a way that, oh my gosh, everybody I know when I was a kid who was a Catholic knew this and passed this on to people. You don't have to be a Catholic to do it. You don't even have to be a Christian. St. Joseph is a spirit who certainly will help. You're going to get a little statue of St. Joseph, or you can make one. If you're talented, just make a little statue of St. Joseph. And you're going to call upon St. Joseph and say, St. Joseph, I need your help. It is common also to have a holy card of St. Joseph or a print of St. Joseph, paper, and you put that in a frame and you can put it on the wall. If you don't want people to think, oh my gosh, I've got a St. Joseph up and they all know what I'm thinking, put the picture behind another picture that's on the wall when the house is being shown. Picture of an old Dutch mill with St. Joseph behind it, something of that nature. Why the Dutch mill? Because it goes round and round. It turns your money. But whatever it's going to be, a picture of a ship because you want to move, whatever it may be. But you want to put St. Joseph up. You can use St. Joseph oil. You can have a St. Joseph candle. Those are all useful adjuncts, and many people use them. But personally, all you really need is a little statue of St. Joseph. And you say, St. Joseph, as you, a carpenter, made sure that Mary and Jesus always had a place to live, even if it was nothing but a little tiny stable, you never let them sleep out in the cold. You built a home when you could. You found them a place to sleep in a stable when that was all you had. You always took care. I want you now to take care of my living conditions. But St. Joseph, my need is very great, so I want you to rush and pay more attention to me. Take time for me. Above all the others standing in line waiting for your help, I'm going to put you in a difficult place so that you remember I'm really knocking on your door, St. Joseph. And you take that little statue and you bury it upside down in the front yard. Upside down, some say, with his face facing the east. And you say, now, St. Joseph, as the sun rises, bring me that home buyer now. And I promise you, St. Joseph, I promise you, if you sell my house well and with a reasonable price that I'm asking, and quickly, quickly, quickly as the sun rises, I will dig you up out of that difficult, dark situation, and I will dust you off, and I will wash you off, and I will put you in a high place in my new home. And you got to carry through what you say. Don't leave that St. Joseph buried upside down. You're going to get in trouble later. You're going to dig that St. Joseph up, and you're going to put it, dust it off, clean it up, and put it up in a high place. The place that most people use is the back of a closet. It's a high place, but it's not in your face, you know. Some people, though, love St. Joseph so much they'll put him on the highest shelf of a bookcase. But some will just put it up in the highest back of the closet of the new home. Okay? So that is a quick, simple way to work to get what you need, which is to get moved as fast as possible. Now, there are other things you can do. I recommend that you get a map of where you're moving to, and a Google map, a satellite map, a road map, a street map. Get some photos. And I would recommend, I used to say, make a vision board and put these photos on the board and think about it every day. I've gotten real electronic about this now. If I want to go someplace, I get on Google Street View and I walk up and down that street. I look at all the houses. I look at all the trees. I begin to know that neighborhood very well, both from the air, from satellite, and from Street View, till I could find my way around that neighborhood just as easy. It's my neighborhood now. And as I do that, spend some time with it. You can have a little bit of incense burning. You can have a little oil on your fingertips just as you hit the keyboard or hold the mouse in your hand. But what I recommend very much is safe travel, because you do not need to make that travel. And you also want to get that new house, and that is Our Lady of Loretto. And that is an apparition of the Virgin Mary who is shown traveling from one place to another, She is being held aloft by angels. One of them has the map. I always call it the angel with the Google map. And Our Lady of Loretto is an apparition of the Virgin who moved her entire house. And I mean, talk about a tiny house. She had a tiny house. She's holding the baby. They're flying through the air. The angels are looking down. We're going to set the house down over there. And Our Lady of Loretto, you can get a card or a print, print it out from the internet if you can't get it any other way. And that is going to go with your picture of the new place, the place you're going to. So St. Joseph to sell, Our Lady of Loretto to settle into the new place. Okay? Does that make sense to you?
It does.
All righty. Now, let's see if anybody has anything else. Chaz or Ali, do you have anything to add?
Well, one thing I like to do or that I recommend when people are trying to move is to actually work with a living plant. So up here in Northern California, we can grow all kinds of things. It's a great region. So what I would suggest is getting a little ivy plant. And, you know, even if it's just a little root bound, that might be a good thing. And every time you go to water that plant, just say, okay, I need your help. I need your help selling this place so that we can move to this new place and I can put you in the ground or put you in a bigger pot. You know, tell it that's going to go to a place that's going to be sunny and temperate and all the things that it likes. And that's how I would work it.
Wow, that's a fantastic thing, Chaz. So you want to find a plant that will do very well in that location. Now, he mentioned ivy, but it just occurred to me, if you're in a cold place now where certain plants cannot go, get a California plant and say, I'll take you someplace warm where you can go out, right? What a wonderful idea, Chaz. That is
really
phenomenal.
Good.
That's an excellent, really? Excellent. And that plant will be your ally in that move. Absolutely.
The only thing I have to add is... in my reading in particular, there was this idea that there is someone that needs to help you with the finance aspect of it. So I want you to light a white candle at night and burn some althea on charcoal or as incense to call to that person wherever they are to assist you. If you know who they are, approach them. If you don't, then you need to do this type of work to call them to wherever they are. This simple white candle doesn't need to be anointed with anything. Burn a little bit althea. That brings helpers in. Some people just leave althea out in a bowl, but burning it as incense can send it out so that it can find that ally and bring it to you. It's important to get that physical help you need to sort out those finances for you, to do whatever budgeting that needs to be done, because that's going to be the foundation that's going to help move this along. So find your helper. And do this work at night with the candle and the incense, and that should help.
That's really great, Ali. And I'm going to add another thing. Alchemical Artisans Hour said, also, when you have potential buyers come to view your house, bake something shortly before they are due. The smell will make your house seem warm and welcoming. This is true. Some people like cinnamon vanilla cookies. Some people like bread. And you can just use, you know, Poppin' Fresh biscuits. But that is it's absolute truth. You want to have baked something that has a nice fragrance, but it's basically a carbohydrate and a sweet spice. Don't be bacon cabbage, okay, or boiling cabbage when they come to show the house. All right. All the best to you, and check in with us later and see how it went. All right. We're going to put Papa Newt, but first we're going to have our network schedule announcement.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30; Candela's Corner with Candela Canvisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7; The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6; In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7; Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Dania, Wednesdays 6 to 7; The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30; The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7; and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. all times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with Chaz Bogan of ChazBogan.com in Walnut Creek, California. Take it away, Chaz.
Okay, so this is a spell for trapping a spirit in a bottle. And Kat was talking earlier about her experiences when she was younger, you know, working with a Ouija board and getting those spirits that are just kind of mischievous, that'll just kind of pester you and give you wrong information. And that's kind of common. It's common when you start just calling on whoever is out there without any discretion. So whenever you start a session with a spirit board, the first thing you want to do is ask who you're talking to. You want to get a name. And that's very important because, as we know from magic, if you have something's name, then you have some power over it. You have a concern of it. So after you've done that and you've had a session where the spirit is just not giving you good information and giving you nightmares, that kind of stuff, I would say, you know, warn it and say, hey, you keep bothering me, I'm going to do some magic on you. And if it doesn't stop, well, this is the magic that you would do. So what you're going to need is a bottle or a jar, something small. You don't need anything big. A little baby food jar would be fine. And you're going to fill this probably a fifth of the way with something sticky. I suggest rubber cement. Then, in addition to that, you're going to add some salt. Table salt will do. You're going to also add some Spanish moss. Spanish moss is great for trapping spirits. They get all entangled in it. It's just great stuff. A rusty nail. Here in Northern California, I would use clover burrs. But really, you can use something regional as well. Really, whatever you find is sticking to your pets, whether it's foxtail or whatever. You can use that. You know, the idea is you're using something that is known to hold on to things, to stick to things. You're trying to trap the spirit. And after you've assembled all that, you're going to fill out a name paper with that spirit's name on it that it gave you when you first started using the spirit board. And you're going to tuck that into the bottle, and you're going to seal up the bottle. And how you would dispose of this is you would take that to the graveyard and you would bury that. And that should tie up that spirit and keep it from bothering you. So have at it. That's your free spell of the week.
Wow. Okay, so you came up with an interesting list, and other people have added to it. The kind of plant that you're going to add is a plant that it will stick to you or will tie things up, like Spanish moss, burr clover, cleavers, foxtail. I added blackberries because you always get caught on blackberries, right? Something that will catch and twine that spirit. I love that idea because it's regional. You can go with whatever you've got in your area that is. Now, we're not talking about the pleasant things like morning glories. We're talking about things like dodder, if you all know what dodder is. It's a pest in certain plant crops. It'll twine and catch them down. These things in a spirit bottle, very, very effective. Now, I'm going to add a couple of things here, too. You said you're going to take it to the graveyard. That is one of the final ways to dispose of something. And, again, I really appreciate that because we're talking about spirits of the dead. So if you don't know what graveyard they came from, you just return them to any graveyard. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Sure.
All right. Ollie, do you have anything to add to that?
I don't have anything specifically to add to the bottle. I think it's a great form of protection. I'm a big fan of spirit bottles. I think they're really good a form of protection. I use them a lot in the work that I do, making spirit bottles for clients and using them, so they're very effective. The only thing I have to add is that the idea of taking a spirit back to the graveyard is really good old school hoodoo. So hoodoo has a long tradition of what's known as ghost laying. This is particularly common in areas like Virginia. You find it in North Carolina and Georgia as well, where there's a little bit more of a fearful dead kind of approach to spirits. And the idea being that you can actually lay a spirit back out in a cemetery and even do a whole mock funeral. And that's a way of doing exorcism. And so there were whole root workers that specialized in removing kind of unwanted or troublesome spirits by doing ghost laying. So combining the spirit bottle with ghost laying, these kind of two ways of working, is a fantastic approach. So I love this particular work. I have lots of spirit bottles in my house hanging from the ceilings and them placed on altars, so I'm a big fan.
Some people say that you could draw a spirit into a bottle by giving it a little bit of something it might like. If it likes sugar, put a sugar or honey in it. But not a lot. Now, we're not talking about making a honey jar. If it likes tobacco, blow a little tobacco in, if you can stand
alcohol.
To do that. Alcohol, if it's that kind of a spirit that likes alcohol.
Yeah.
But this is for a spirit that you may not know. In other words, you got a spirit, all you got is their name, they began to threaten and menace you during your Ouija board session, and you just want them gone. You don't have to find out whether they like honey more than alcohol. Just put their name in and say, be gone with you, right? Be gone with you. Cap that little thing up and say, you know, I don't want you around no more. Now, this is the root of some of these stories that people tell about finding the genie in the bottle. That genie in the bottle is often mischievous. Why? He was put in the bottle by somebody else who didn't want him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you should note that when you do this type of work, you need to do it from a position of authority and strength, right? So you are telling that spirit it needs to go, right? It's not a, hey, you cannot be timid with this type of work. There's a position of power you need to take. You are driving the spirit out.
That's right. That's right. So send that spirit away if you don't like it and tell it not to come back no more. If you all dig up bottles and they're sealed,
don't open them.
All right. Okay. Let's turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give our closing announcements. We'll all say a little bit of words, and then we'll all come back and say goodbye. So take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Chaz Bogan of ChazBogan.com and Walnut Creek, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, John St. Germain of JohnSt.Germain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, bringing us the topic, lithomancy. Afterwards, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat via the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at theconjurman.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Papa Newt. Now, everybody, remember, your September newsletter is going to be late, but it's going to be well worth it. 15% discount on everything divination, including the fantastic Carnivalio Ouija boards, spirit boards, talking boards from Chaz Bogan. All right, I'm going to go down and make goofer dust as soon as this show is over, so I'm just going to say, well, it's time to say goodbye. So can you all say goodbye with me?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right. Now, remember, keep cool. It's hot out there, and I really, really, really have to send out my love and hope and help to those people in Houston. But I got to go make goofer dust. I'm just going to let the music run out. I got to go. They're waiting for me to make goofer dust down there, and they've been waiting all day.
You
adios,
go make
folks.
That goofer dust.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Farewell.
All right.